Praise the Lord. Amen. About to get intimidated. I didn't know if I was going to get to preach again tonight or not. Holy Ghost has already fallen. Between the service this morning and this evening, folks have been healed in their body. I know they have. Homes have been touched, families, lives, young people, moms and dads. Various people, various situations touched greatly, mightily, powerfully by the Lord. Amen. I know that because I've tried the spirits. There's a good spirit in here tonight. There was a great spirit in here this morning, and I know God is touched. Amen. I'm going to share a word with you this evening, but we're going to find Joshua 14, verse number 12. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. Brother Jay, on the paper that I gave you, there were more verses. I added more verses to the paper I gave you. Let's go there. You lead me, if you would. Praise God. It's a little lengthy read, but I want you to get it all. The Bible said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. So Caleb was 40 years old when Moses sent him into Canaan to spy it all out. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. It was in my heart. Caleb said it was in my heart. I knew we could conquer it. My buddy Joshua, he knew it too. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. In other words, they filled them full of fear. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be yours as an inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. Amen. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. Now these 45 years later, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. How many of you old men ever felt that? I went four-wheeling the other Saturday afternoon with the guys. I figured if I'm twice as old as some of them, I could ride twice as good. I found out that I could fall twice as hard. But we had a good time. He said, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, 45 years later, the man is saying, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heard in that day how the Anakims were there. Cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him. Joshua's the boss now. And gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. He gave it to him before he conquered it. You got these guys that don't even own the property out there dividing it up. I like that. That's faith. Joshua blessed him. Gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron. Amen. As an inheritance. Praise God. Give me verse number 14. Sorry about the little delay here. This is our maiden system. We will get another one when we can afford it. I I love the flow of the Holy Ghost, but our scripture quote and sound system doesn't. Amen. Is it going to happen? There it is. Hebron therefore became the, and I'm going to roll on. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this very day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Making up for this morning. This then was the lot, the tribe of Israel, Judah, by their families. Even so to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. So the Lord allowed them to go in and to take it all. Because 45 years ago, the man said, give me that mountain. And even when he couldn't have it when he wanted it, 45 years later, he came right back to the same spot and said, now give me that mountain. Here's what I want to talk about this evening. The mentality of a mountain climber. The mentality of a mountain climber. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's favor. Jesus, we do love you and lift you and thank you and praise you. We honor and worship the mighty in the wonderful name of the Lord. Pray your will, your way, and your wisdom. We pray your guidance, your goodness, and your mercy. Speak to all our hearts this evening. Challenge us, charge us, change us, make us better for your glory, for your kingdom, and for your will. And somebody shout in the name of Jesus, the mentality of a mountain climber. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, I want my mountain. Whatever it may be, praise the Lord. God bless you. It cost $67,000 to make the trip. The destination is an area about the size of your living room. A jagged platform of rock and ice nearly 6 miles in the sky. It takes 2 months to get there. But once you arrive, you get to stay there for less than an hour. The winds frequently exceed 100 miles an hour, and the wind chill factor often dips into the negative triple digits. It is at this place that you feel the deathly cold of violent breezes created by the earth because it's rotating on a perfect 23-degree axis. Some call it an adventure. Some call it a vacation, while others call it foolishness. But in the month of May 1996, the world called it a grave. 8 climbers died, trapped in a sudden, unexpected storm. The odds were against them anyway. Since 1921, when Sir Edmund Hillary conquered Mount Everest, get this now, less than 600 people have stood at the mountain's peak, and more than 140 have died trying to reach this treacherous destination. Most of humanity, could I pause there for just a moment and just simply tell you this? Sir Edward Hillary's first opportunity and try at this mountain did not succeed. He did not make it to the peak. When he descended, as of yet, no one had made it to the peak, and he tried and failed. When he descended, months later, there was a party that was held in his honor by the Queen of England. And at that party, he was asked to come up and speak. When he came up and took the microphone, he turned and pointed at the wall where there was a picture of that great mountain. And he pointed his finger at it, and he said, I will be back to do it again. And he said, and I will succeed. And he said, the reason is because I can grow, but you can't. If you've never been a mountain climber, tonight might be the night that you decide to be. If you've never been a conqueror and an overcomer, tonight might be the night that you need to decide to be. And if you've never faced your giants and never faced your mountains with a look of confidence, maybe tonight is your night to do that. Why don't we just go ahead and acknowledge that we've got the faith to face our mountain. And like Caleb, maybe we failed one time, maybe we failed 100 times. But this next time could be the time that we can grow and the mountain cannot, and it will be conquered. You can get silent, but I know that a majority of the people in this building tonight are facing things that you never thought you would face in the past. But here they are presenting themselves in your future. Amen. Mountains that may seem like you can't get over, you can't get under, and you can't get around. But why don't you just look to your God and say, give me that mountain. Because if he can give it to Caleb, he can give it to you. And somebody's got to get the fortitude to believe God for the mountain. It's simply the mentality of a mountain climber. It's your spirit. It's something that is in you that tells you that you are going to win this battle. And you are going to win this war. And you are going to be an overcomer. And you will break the ribbon. And you will make it to the end. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Most of humanity would look upon such an incredible risk as a ridiculous misuse of time and energy at best, and mindless stupidity at worst. However, the masses simply do not understand the mentality of a mountain climber. Only a select company have been smitten by this flagrant fantasy of conquering the mountain. The outrageous goal of ascent to a place where few have ever set foot. One might call it the passionate pursuit of the peak. We're not going to get where we're going if we don't get a passion for it. There are those that are playing games with it right now. They're here one Sunday, somewhere else the next Sunday. I'll be with you this Sunday. I'll be with you tonight. I'll do this the weekend, and I'll do this then. Amen. But listen to me and let me tell you, if it's not a passion to make it to the peak, you will never see the peak. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, narrow is the way. And very few, the Bible says that find it. Amen. Now, I don't know who the few are going to be, but I've made up my mind I'm going to be one of them. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody here that's made up your mind to be one of them. Amen. But it's going to take a passion. It's going to take a drive. And it's going to take a deep desire. And it's going to take everything that you've got within you to make it to the point and to make it to the peak. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we need to make up our minds. Praise the Lord. In their article, May 27, 1996, covering the treacherous trek to the top, Newsweek magazine captured the adventurous spirit in a quote from a man who was a climber. There's a passion and a closeness where you face your mortality with your closest friends. Climbers are people who hold on to life more than people who don't climb. And what we learn up there, he said, we bring home to our loved ones. This unknown adventure reveals his words, the same sort of spirit that was possessed by an ancient mountain climber in the scripture by the name of Caleb. Though he was getting up in age, by the time Israel finished 40 years of foolishness, wandering in the wilderness of their own disobedience, this 85-year-old soldier eagerly accepted a challenge that would have been daunting to many men half his age. But somehow it seems easy to visualize him pointing his crooked finger of a wrinkled hand at that distant horizon and demanding his long-promised inheritance. That belongs to me, and I shall go forward and take it. Amen. Give me this mountain, the elder Caleb said with his now aged lips, even as his much younger heart was saying, I accept the perils associated with the passionate pursuit of this peak. I refuse to refuse the risk. Amen. Somebody needs to take a chance. Amen. Ask Bartimaeus. At that time in history, do your study. At that time in history, blind people were everywhere. There were no eye doctors, and there were no people removing cataracts and things that are simple surgeries today that could prevent blindness. There was blindness everywhere. And Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord. Amen. The disciples wanted to shut him up, but he cried out anyhow. And what did he do? He received his sight. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, what's wrong with crying out? What's wrong with reaching out? What's wrong with setting a goal that I'm going to see it, I'm going to feel it, I'm going to touch it, and I'm going to believe God for it? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, Legion did. Amen. They would catch him and bind him in stocks and irons, and then he would break away and break the irons off and go free again because he was so possessed with spirits, and because he had so many wicked spirits, he was named Legion because he had a legion of them. A legion could be as many as 10,000. I don't know how you feel about that, amen, but I've dealt with people that seemed like they only had one devil, and that was tough enough. But to have as much as 10,000, and yet for Jesus to walk up and say, and then the demons to cry out, I know who you are. I know exactly who you are. Aren't you come before your time? And Jesus let them know, no, I'm right on time. And you're going to leave this man alone. That day, that man with thousands of devils was delivered. If he could do that for that man, what could he could do for anybody in this house right now? If we just had the passion, if we just had the desire to make it to the top. I don't want to just hang around with the crowd. I don't want to just show up somewhere for fellowship, but I want to make it. I want my name in the book. I want my toes to toe the line with a made up mind. I want a grit gut determination. I want to know that I'm going to make it. That's going to take the mentality of a mountain climber. Amen. He said, give me this mountain. Praise the Lord. How about the father that came to Jesus and said, my son is vexed with the devil. He throws him in the water to try to drown him. He throws him in the fire to try to consume him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm saying no wonder the Lord came up with water and fire to save us. The devil tried to use it to destroy that boy. And the Lord said, I'll use the water and fire to save him. I'll let them get baptized in my name, and I'll fill them with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and they'll be consumed by me, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Amen. In the Word of God, mountains have often been places where men made sacrifices to God and received direction from God. It's almost as if they embody some kind of spiritual geography of the human soul. It's all connected to the mountain. Who could forget Abraham and his Moriah? Who could forget Moses and his Sinai, or Noah and his Ararat, or Elijah and his Carmel, or Jesus and his Golgotha? Amen. There are some mountains that are worth climbing, no matter what the risk. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some mountains that are simply worth climbing, no matter what the risk. Climbing then can be hard, but the personal exertion will provide depth to your spiritual experience. Striving for the peak may be weary work, but it does create patience as you labor with those beside you on your way to the top. Bearing burdens during such a trek often seems an insufferable task, but the skills gained by navigating life's treacherous mountain passes will ultimately provide you with spiritual wisdom beyond your earthly years. Who will accept the challenge? Who will pursue the pinnacle, perhaps of prayer? Amen. Who will ascend to the apex of apostolic power? Who will scale the summit of soul winning? Who will press to the peak of personal revival, refreshing, and renewal? Who will take the track to the tower of total surrender? Who will bravely stand on the zenith of zealous worship? Yes, there's risks, but I want you to see the rewards. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 2 said, "You are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of men." You're a book, an open book that others are going to read. Have you ever asked yourself what they're reading? Have you ever asked yourself what they're seeing? What they hear when they read the words? What they observe when they observe you? Again, Paul said, we are epistles that we've been written in their hearts. It was the prophet Muhammad who first coined the phrase, people of the book, in order to distinguish Christianity from Islam, which handed down its revelations just orally. They just kind of added to it through the generations. He meant the term to be taken as a disparaging and a degrading insult to Christianity, but Christians throughout subsequent centuries have worn it as a badge of honor because of their love for the Word of God and for the Bible. We are people of the book. The bottom line is this. The way you do anything is the way you ought to do everything, and that is give it 100%. Amen. There's people that your boss would say, they're the greatest person I've got working for me. My business wouldn't make it without them. And then at church, we don't know if they're going to show up or not. Hello? If you're going to give that 100%, give God 100%. My word, you ought to give God 100% before you give anybody else 100%. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul had a unique perspective on God's Word, and he taught it was wonderful to read, and it was wonderful to study the Scriptures, but it was ultimately more valuable to live it. Believers are to become, they are to become, in a very real sense, God's Word manifest in the flesh. When they see that epistle, they need to see the Word manifested in the flesh. Not in our incarnation, but a habitation of God's Spirit. In the classical Hebrew, there's no word for religion. You try to speak religion to the Hebrew, or even try to give a definition of it, they don't comprehend it, and they don't get it, because there is no word for religion. Instead, the Jews used the word Torah, which has a composite meaning of law, learning, and living. In other words, a person does not have religion unless the law of God is being learned and lived in everyday existence. There is no religion without God. There is no religion without being obedient to the Word of God. There is no religion without a relationship with your Bible. There is no religion. Please stop saying religion when it's not even a Hebrew word. And we are Jews grafted in by the Holy Ghost, whereby we now cry, Abba, Father. We're the spiritual Jews. So listen, don't get yourself a religion. Get yourself a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And live it every day. Perhaps the word is ripe for rediscovery. People are not looking for just a book containing the answer, but for a person who has met the answer that put the book together. Amen. Has anyone ever come to you and said, I don't know where my life would be without you? Amen. I came to Axe Troopers just yesterday, and I watched some kids learn about guns, and and I listened to them as they commented on a Bible study that Brother Rick Wagner gave them. And I watched young men shoot for the very first time. I think Levi shot for the very first time. And Brother Cook hadn't shot a gun since he was 16. When he got his hands on one, he didn't want to let it go. And so we were teaching them how to handle a gun. And one of the questions that Rick asked in the little Bible study was, what would you do if a gunman came into the church and started waving a gun and brandishing a gun? It's sad, but you got to teach children how to respond to that. Did you know that when we went to buy the chairs for this church, that they wanted to come and design the seating for this congregation so that gunmen couldn't get to the pulpit? It's in every design for a church. If you let them come in, they design it. So it's hard for gunmen to do what they're going to do when they come in. It's a sad day we live in, and so children have to be taught. Amen. If we believe in a free America and the freedom to bear arms, they need to learn how to do that. The ones that are bearing arms and doing all the criminal activity don't even know how. Brother Carson's a policeman, and he said half the time when they're shootings, these guys are out there and they're missing. They hold it sideways because it's cool and you can't even shoot sideways. I mean, they don't even make sense. And so we were teaching them, but they were asked, what would you do if a gunman came into the church? And one of the little kids, I can't remember who it was, they spoke up and said, Pastor would protect me. If that did not send me on my mountain, there ain't nothing in this world that can. I've got to make it to the top because I've got eyes watching me. You have got to make it to the top because you are not the only individual in your world. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he said, my pastor would protect me. I want that peak. That's where I found the greatest mountain climber of all ages. Amen. That's where I found Jesus. Hallelujah. A lot of years ago, a London newspaper ran this ad and said, men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of darkness, constant danger. Safe return, doubtful. Honor and recognition, yours, all yours, in case of success. And then one would have thought that simple common sense would prevent anybody from responding to that. But literally thousands of men signed up for the journey. Why? The ad was signed by world-famous explorer Ernest Shackleton. The men felt confident they could meet the challenge safely and successfully because they had complete trust in a leader that they loved. I'm not going to try to stand here and convince you to follow me, but I would try to convince you to join me and let's follow Jesus because he is the greatest leader of this universe. I want my earthly journey to accomplish something for him. Whatever the cost to me personally, it doesn't matter. That is the single most important reason that I cannot play it safe. Amen. In my personal life or in my ministry, I refuse to refuse the risk. Several times we could have settled and been okay, but I don't settle for okay. I will only settle for the perfect will of God. On the horizon before us and before our church stand mountains that must be conquered. Let's stand together. Our track to the top would be impossible, save except for one thing. We're climbing with the master of mountains. And I want you to hear his call tonight to higher ground. Not safety, but to higher ground. I want you to hear His call tonight to a deeper place. I want you to hear His call tonight to be stronger, more fortified, a more of a made-up mind and a determination. And I'm wondering tonight if there's anybody that will join me. I just want you to look at it as the base of a peak that could be 8 miles high. But I wonder if you'll join me at the base of the mountain and say, I'll climb with you, Pastor. We can do this together. Amen. You see the man hanging on the corner? He had to climb underneath that to get where he's at right there. How do you do that? Well, it looks absolutely impossible. But what we've got to understand, that we've been filled with that can do the impossible. And He can do anything we need Him to do. And there are people here tonight that need Him to do some things. And I'd like for you to come closer. And if it's comfortable, I want you to reach out and touch somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Husband to a wife, or a wife to a husband, a brother to a brother, sister to sister. Amen. And let's just believe God right here, right now, for one another. Your faith is going to bless them, and their faith is going to bless you. And we're all going to turn out mountain climbers. Our children will climb mountains. Daddy, if you'll climb mountains, Mom, if you'll climb mountains, we'll all climb mountains. Let's lift our voices in prayer with one another and believe God. And let's get a passion for the peak. Let's believe God and get the mentality of a mountain climber. Believe it, receive it, achieve it, master it. There's got to be something that comes with it that makes it so unique and wonderful. Hallelujah.
Still I will trust You. Still I will follow.
Holy
Still
Ghost.
I Holy Ghost. Will listen.
Yes, yes.
To Your every calling.
My.
The storm
mighty God,
rages
mighty God,
on.
Mighty God, mighty God.
And I can't find.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've climbed a mountain.
Jesus, touch this one beside me right here.
I've walked the valley, Lord.
Holy Ghost, touch this one beside me right here.
But there was a hand.
Touch the one behind me. Touch the one before me.
Where to go?
Move on our children, Lord. Give us the skills.
So I will not question.
Give us the wisdom. Give us direction. Help us forge the way.
I have placed
Jesus'
my
name.
Trust in You.
Oh, yes.
And You alone.
Oh, yes, 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 yes,
still
yes.
I
Lord.
Will trust You.
I will trust You.
Still
I will
follow.
I will follow.
Still
I will. Holy Ghost, I will.
To Your every calling, though the storm rages on,
my.
And I can't find my way.
Yes, yes, yes.
Still I will trust You, Lord. When in my dark hour,
Holy Ghost,
You restored my weary soul. You led me to that resting place.
Oh, yes.
Safe and warm.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I will not question when stormy billows roll.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
For my faith is secure.
Right.
Safe is my trust.
Oh, yeah.
In you alone.
Hallelujah.
Still I will trust you.
Jesus' name.
Still I
Jesus
will
name.
Follow.
Will follow you, Lord.
Still
I
will listen.
I will live for you, Lord.
To your
every I will love and honor, worship and exalt you, Lord. Praise
though
God.
The storm
yes, yes,
rages
yes,
on.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I can't find my way. Still I will trust you, Lord.
Greet your brother. Greet your sister. Thank you so much for being in the house of God tonight. Thank you for your praise, your worship. Thank you for your giving, living, and loving. God bless you, Landmark.